This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We are underway. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday. And by the way, if you want to be a part of the program, we certainly welcome you. Get a hold of us on the talk and text line, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226 is the number. And Doug, good to visit with you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Our final show of the year today. I will be out next Saturday, so our final show of 2023 is here.
Oh, same to you, Stevie, and have a great, great holiday. I think it's going to be, it's unusual because of the weather. I don't remember having a Christmas quite like this, do you?
No, there have been years where we haven't had snow on the ground, but it hasn't been this mild. As a matter of fact, you heard the weather a moment ago. Quite a bit of rain moving in through the holiday, and we'll certainly keep you up to date here on CCO about that. One thing I did want to bring up, though, there's going to be holiday gatherings, people getting together with family and friends, etc., and a lot of digital photos will be taken. And number one, I want to start with, go ahead, take digital photos. It's not like the old days when you'd run out of film or had to pay to get all those photos developed. You know, digital's easy, storage is cheap. But at some point, you're going to want to organize those photos. You're going to want to weed out the dupes and the bad ones and delete those from your phone or your computer or whatever. And then beyond that, you may want to share those photos. And I wanted to get your thoughts on what you do and some tips on what to do with all those photos we take.
Well, you know, that's interesting you bring that up. I try to encourage people that the day you take those photos, everything is fresh in your mind. Sit down and rename them and transfer them to off your camera or wherever, off your phone, wherever you got them, and rename them so they're appropriate. Keep the originals intact, even with the same name. But this gives you another copy right away. And surprisingly, almost all of these cloud storage today will allow you to share your data on that storage. You could actually select who can view it, if they can make changes, if they can download. And that's true for iCloud or Google Drive or HP Drive or iDrive. There's a whole bunch of them. I think that's really the best. If you start emailing whole pictures to everybody, you're going to use a lot more internet than you need to. Whereas if you just email them a link that you've got set up in your sharing, first of all, it's going to take much less resources on your computer and theirs, and they're going to view that pictures as a web page, and they can put in slideshows, the whole nine yards. That really is the answer. I think we need to just limit our internet usage and just be good netizens. If we can do that, everybody is better off. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and there are a lot of great photo sharing options out there. It's kind of like over the years we've talked about storage. If you want to pay a little money, you're going to probably like the product a little bit better when it comes to storage, etc. But there are a lot of great options to share photos, or even if you take a brief video to be able to share photos and videos of holiday get-togethers.
Indeed. Yeah, this is really the way to go. I really like the fact that, you know, even when people are apart today, you've got the FaceTime thing. So you're like having them right in your room or you being at their particular thing. Now, this Christmas, we're going to be contacting my grandchildren down in Alabama, and we'll be on the phone for them while they open up presents. And when we open up presents, it's just like we're all together as a group. yes, I would love to be face-to-face, but this is a really, really nice thing when you can't make it happen. And once that's done, then you want to take care of your data. Take care of it within the next day or so. If you get tired tonight, do it tomorrow morning. Do it the next day, but do it in a timely manner. If you let these things pile up before you know it, you'll have 2,000, 3,000 pictures, and you'll go, oh, my God, it'll just seem insurmountable.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. One of the activities, whenever I'm somewhere waiting for whatever, whether it's a doctor's office or whenever I travel and I'm sitting at the airport and you don't have much to do, it is a great opportunity to get into your smartphone and weed out those photos, because I use my phone. I don't own a digital camera. It is my phone, and I'm pretty pleased with the camera and the iPhone. I've been able to get some good shots. But it is important to go there and weed it out. And I do use it at work. If I'm out and back or need to remember something, I'll snap a photo, bring it back to my desk, and then remember, okay, here's what I need to do with this item, whether it's a reorder or whatever, in my purchasing role in my full-time gig. So it is handy, but I need to weed those out as well. And, indeed, you know, cleaning up your phone, you don't have unlimited storage. And beyond that, if you have a smartphone, chances are you have some sort of backup device like iCloud with an iPhone, and you don't want to clog that up as well. You don't want to save everything.
Oh, for sure. Well, and you know, and iCloud too. When anytime you get an Apple device, you automatically have iCloud. I think it's like 5 gigabytes, but it's cheap. It's like 99 cents a month, and you get a whole ton of space, and then you can tie everything together. I think people really got to start getting into this. There's come a day where we're going to be buying computers without any storage. Everything's going to be in the cloud. So it's best to just stay on top of it and do it right away. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a copy at home. As long as hard drives, external hard drives, are the cost that they are, really there's no reason you shouldn't have 3 or 4 copies. Keep those precious photos as well as you can. So we can't replace that kind of stuff. So it's really important that you take care of that data.
Yeah, and the thing particularly about a lot of these things, if you delete the photo, it'll typically hold it for 30 days in a deleted photo folder. So it's not instantly gone if it's kind of like, I shouldn't have deleted that one. I know that's true on my iPhone.
Oh, no, that's true almost everywhere. You can find a temp file, but I would just really encourage people, do not rely on that. It's a good backup in case you make a mistake, but it's not best practice by any means. Best to have control of your data, have more than one copy, possibly 2 or 3 or 4 if you can. There's no reason you can't, other than your time. And once you get into the habit, though, Steve, you know yourself, it's much, much quicker, much easier to do. Just like anything else, you form the right habits and away you go.
Yeah, and I think it is a big deal, ultimately, to keep all your devices as clean as you can. You want to make sure you keep that stuff you really want. But I get the sense, and I'm this way too, when I'll go through my phone, and I've got photos that I definitely want to keep over the long haul, and then it's kind of like, but I don't need 3 of them. And these photos take up a lot of storage, and you can clean up your device, and I think you're going to find that, in general, things are going to run quicker when they're cleaned up.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely no question about it. Now, on a Mac and an Apple product in Linux, there isn't as much cleanup to do because it's not creating so many temp files and doing all the other stuff. But with a Windows machine, it's critical. Absolutely critical. And as you know, Steve, we're probably going to mention this today anyway, Pervasor is your best friend on a Windows machine. That takes care of all that stuff in a matter of minutes. It's just really the way to go. And I really think that people have to stay conscious of this. They have to be cognizant that this is something that is going to be ongoing. And, you know, the amount of time it used to take you to run the film down to the drugstore, go pick it up and pay for it, you could do a ton of work with your data. Really, it's just swapping one function for another.
Well, I remember going in the Wayback Machine for us old-timers, the photo mat. The little photo mat stores that would be in the parking lot at the mall or whatever, Some folks may remember dropping them off at the photomat. You can still get film cameras. It's kind of cool. It's kind of a novelty. It is a trick to find someone to develop that, but you know, digital photography is pretty cool in its own right. By the way, if you want to join the show, WCCO Talk and Text Line, always available, 651-461-9226. Friendly reminder, this is our final show of the year. I'll be off next Saturday, and I believe Matthew Collar from Purple Insider will be sitting in on the program, and that is next Saturday. Doug, let's go to that talk and text line and get started. What are your recommendations for a password manager for Apple products? What's a good way to manage passwords?
Oh, you know, the best thing I found is Proton, Proton, and their password manager is relatively new. It works with everything. It's web-based. Now, with the iPhone and an iWatch, I've got to do some jumping through some hoops to actually make it so it's 100% automated. But just having them so they're safe is wonderful. That's my favorite. I just can't quite get past this. It's cross-platform, and it goes to Proton Mail if you want to have that, Proton Drive. But the password manager, I use it every day, all day long, and I've never found one that was quite this friendly. I really like it. And it's proton.me, and you can go right into their website, download it for free if you buy the professional version, but I'd say just get the mail if you're going to spend some money with them. But no need to do that right away. Get to know the product and get to see if it's going to be working for you. And if it is, by all means, step up and you can buy one if you like. But it's a wonderful, wonderful package. You play with that yourself, Steve. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, and password managers, I've talked about this before. Having some sort of strategy or a game plan when it comes to passwords, I think, is really important. Because I think anybody can pull an idea out of the air and it's like, oh, this will be a good password. The key is, can you remember it? And is it something meaningful to you? And that is super important. Now, with some sites, I will let the site itself suggest a strong password, and that's mm-hmm. typically through my Google password manager, and that works pretty well, and so on and so forth, especially with work-related websites. But some of my own, you know, personal things like banking or credit cards, I use my own password scheme.
Oh, I agree. I think that that's really important that people get into this as well. And when it comes to passwords and a password manager, if it's something that's being saved up in the cloud, you want it encrypted, and you want it encrypted to the point to where even the company that's offering this can't get at your passwords. It's just good business. And to have, like with Proton now, part of it is on your end and part of it is on theirs. So they're sharing your storage, but they can't get into it without your part. So it really is just slick. It's just wonderful. And it is enormous how many passwords one can amass in just a couple of years getting once they get online. You've got banking passwords. And, of course, a lot of these guys want you to change them every 3 months. So it's become quite a large task to keep track of it. I think they've become necessary. Password managers, they really are needed, I think, throughout the entire industry. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Quick break. We'll have much more here on Tech Talk with Doug today. And you are certainly a big part of the program. Feel free to reach out on the talk and text line, 651-461-9226. If you text, comes right into the studio. If you call, you'll visit with producer Josh Wheeler, super nice guy, and he'll put you through as well. So feel free to call or text the program today. When we come back, we'll talk Linux. We'll also talk about older computers and how you can keep those older computers running. We'll get into all of that with Doug here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Tech Talk on a Saturday. Friendly reminder, our final show of the year. I'll be off. Doug will be off next Saturday. Matthew Collar sitting in between 3 and 6 of Purple Insider fame. Doug, quick follow-up. you brought up your best friend on a Windows machine. I believe you were speaking of Prevazor. Mm-hmm. If you get a new machine, if you have a current Windows machine, Prevazor, how do you spell it? What does it do?
Oh, P-R-I-V-A-Z, as in zebra, Prevazor.com is wonderful. This is a cleaning utility that is similar to C-Cleaner, and you know, we pumped that for years, but it just goes so much beyond where C-Cleaner went when you get into a larger Windows environment like 10, 11, and 12. And they seem to be ahead of the versions. By the time they come out, they're rocking and rolling, and I'm glad to see it. It's just a wonderful program. Just what it does with temporary files and cleaning that up and reorganizing your drives. And even though we don't do defrags on a solid-state drive, we must be doing what's called trim. You got to trim that data. You got to pack it in so it's tight piece by piece next to the next piece of data. And Prevazor does that automatic. It's just wonderful. It's a one-button fix. Everybody should have it. And if you got to like it the way that I like it, by all means, donate. Send them $25, $50, whatever's comfortable, and keep this project going. We got to keep it moving forward. I just love this. Prevazor, Prevazor.com.
All right. Yeah, great, great program. No doubt a must if you have a Windows machine. Here's a good one. What do I need or how do I go about from our text line here to download and install to operate Linux on a jump drive or a USB drive? Is that a good way to get started?
Oh, it absolutely is. Every distribution of Linux that I'm aware of has a trial, a drive it for free type thing. And generally what you'll do is you will download an ISO file. And when I say that, I'm talking about the extension of the file. You got a file name. Used to be we were limited to 8 characters. Today you can have as many characters as you want. But that file extension, after the dot, after the period, .exe executable file, ISO is an ISO file. It's that file will create an operating system either on a USB drive or a DVD drive, and it's bootable. Now you can boot it off your USB drive and take it for a test drive without interfering with your data at all. And most of them, if you really like it, you can even start the install from that live copy of Linux. Linux Mint has it. They have all kinds of information step by step, even your first time. If you're serious about trying this and you've got a good 8 gigabyte USB drive or more and you're willing to spend a little time, I'll bet money you'll have this thing built in less than an hour. And that's stumbling around, not knowing what you're doing. There's that kind of information out there. Everybody that's got an older machine should be looking to do this. And I hope that helps.
All right, Doug, follow-up to earlier in the program from our text line. This coming from Bill. As far as password managers go, et cetera, Proton, what are the services? Is that just a password manager, or does it have email, et cetera?
You know, Proton is a company out of Switzerland, and they've been around a good long while. And they're dedicated to anonymous privacy and security. They're doing a tremendous job. Their mainstay is email. And you can get a free email account, or you can, if you want to step up and buy one, yeah, I got one that's unlimited. I think I paid $160 for 2 years, but it's just unbelievable. So you got email, similar to Gmail, and then they've got the password manager, iDrive, and then it's just does a job that there's no tomorrow. I love it. And, of course, you got your calendar and your contacts and your email, which you can also get at separately. But the password manager and Proton Drive, I am in these things all day long. I just love it. And it's just proton.me. And start with the free account. You don't have to buy it right away. And, in fact, I'd say a lot of people will have a free account forever. It just works that way. The amount of things that they've built into this is just incredible. I think you're looking at a company here who's on the grow, for sure, for sure. And that's proton.me, just like me. And I really think it's just the best.
All right, Doug, here's one that's a little more complicated. It has to do with the Windows 11 machine that died, and a repair guy copied documents, pictures, and some other stuff to a second user ID on the new computer, and they're having difficulty with that. We'll get into that following the break. Another one we want to get into following the break is an old Windows 7 computer with a failing drive. How do they preserve that? They want to continue to operate Windows 7, and they have reasons for that. And we'll get into all of that following a weather break. It is 3:30. And by the way, if you want to join us on Tech Talk, you can do it by calling our talk and text line or sending a text, of course, 651-461-9226. Our talk and text line is available for you, 651-461-9226. We'll have the weather in a moment here on News Talk, E3OWCCO.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It is Tech Talk with Doug here on a Saturday, our final show of the year. We will be off next Saturday. Matthew Collar from Purple Insider will be on the air between 3 and 6 next Saturday, and we hope to return in 2024. By the way, let's go to the phones and get started there. We've got a number of folks waiting on the line. And let's start with Gordon in Maple Grove. You're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Hi, guys. Hey. You were talking about password managers. What's a good one for Android?
What was that again? I'm sorry.
What's a good Android password manager?
Oh, Proton will work with that, too. Works with anything. It's web-based. If you can open up a web browser, you can get to it. Now, with Apple, the iOS, and the Android, they actually have special little extensions that will go right down into the browser. They're playable. And you might want to also take a look at Google Play Store and just type in Password Manager. But with Google, people have the understanding that they think Google is checking out all those apps, and they're not. You want to be careful. Do a little research when you're in the Play Store. Find out what the developer's website is and go take a look at it. Find out what kind of reputation he's got. Just be careful. And if you read your reviews, you can find one. But I highly recommend Proton. And Proton will go with any operating system. Now, keep in mind it's still in development, and the computer industry is nonstop change. So this is normal. It's like a living entity, a piece of software today. It's got to rearrange and evolve with the new operating systems that are coming out. And I think today, the successful developer, they're developing in what's called cross-platform. They're not just writing a program for Apple or a Windows machine or a Linux or Unix. They're writing it and they are porting it out to each operating system. That is a great call. Thank you so much. I hope that helps.
Yeah, that is a good one, Gordon. Thanks. Let's go next to Bob in Minneapolis. Bob, you're on Tech Talk with Doug.
Yes, I'd like to know about installing a digital hard drive in an older HP computer.
Yeah, that's really pretty simple. If it's a desktop or a laptop, you can pick up a 2.5-inch solid-state drive today for $20, $30. Great drives. Then you'll need a little device that you can plug it into a USB port so you can mirror the drive. And nearly every solid-state drive today comes with mirroring software. Sometimes you got to download it when you register it, but it's just a piece of cake. And the device that you're wanting is an external, and I don't even get the external case unless you want to save the old drive. But you can pick them up on Amazon today for $12-14, and you may never use it again, but you might. And if you have trouble finding that, just give me a holler, and I'll see if I can help you get one. But that's, I always suggest that you mirror it. Save your data, and then you can just take the old drive out, and your data is safe. Set it aside and go to work. I do that all the time. Been doing it for years, and I hope that helps. Good luck to you.
Yeah, and is this really, I think about even the Chromebooks in front of me or laptops I have. I would be nervous taking that apart. Is it a do-it-yourself project?
Oh, it really is. You know, if you're willing to take a little time, jump on YouTube, get on the internet, you should be able to find a manual. Somebody's got step-by-step instructions. And the thing is you don't need a whole lot of tools anymore, a small Phillips, and just read the instructions, pick up the tools that you need, take your time. When you're putting it back together, do not over-tighten. I actually lay the screws out so they put them back in the exact same holes, and I actually number them if I have to. I got a little plastic magnetic pad that the screws all stick to, and I'll make little notes on this pad. And the smaller the equipment gets, the more difficult it is to work on. I give you that. But even a Chromebook. Yeah, I've replaced drives in Chromebook and put four times the size of drive in and pulled a spinner out and put a solid-state drive in. They just fly when you're done. Oh, don't be afraid. And if it's a computer that's been sitting on the shelf and you're thinking about throwing it in the garbage, that's the one to play with until you get your confidence level up. I think that's really, really the way to go. I think that people who are conservative and concerned about, well, can I do it? I think they're going to do a better job because they're going to take their time and just get it right. It's not near as critical as people think, as long as you remember which drive is your source drive and which drive is your target drive. If you go backwards, you'll write right over the data, and that should make people more nervous than anything. Source, target. Pretty simple if you keep it straight, and I hope that helps.
Yeah. By the way, you can be a part of the show, our talk and text line, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226 is the number. Doug, here's one that we want to get to, and we've got a moment. This is fairly lengthy, but let's see if we can sort it out a little bit. Okay. My desktop motherboard died this summer. I bought a new desktop with Windows 11. My repair guy copied my documents, pictures, and some other stuff to a second user ID on the new computer.
Yeah.
As I was moving them to where I wanted, I started getting messages from Microsoft that I had run out of cloud storage and that I needed to purchase more. I never used Microsoft Cloud other than a few test items to try out. I don't want to use it. It seems to want to back up everything. How do I turn that off? This is from Doug.
Yeah, it's down in your tray area where you start up. You got to locate OneDrive, and you got to right-click on that little icon, and I think it's the second tab in that talks about deactivating this PC. And make sure you got your data first. If you have trouble with that, give me a holler. I think he probably had it set up to where it was recording every keystroke. I do not agree with OneDrive being configured that way. I just don't believe in that. This keeping track of every keystroke, it'll just slow your internet down and slow your machine down, and just, it's not productive. It just doesn't make sense. And he probably did that, and especially if you're working with massive amounts of data, and that's probably what you're doing. By default, you have OneDrive running on a Windows machine. I think that's going to change at 11. We will know more when 12 comes out. 11's out now, kind of, but then by the fourth quarter, they're talking 12, releasing 12 to the public by the fourth quarter of this year. I'm personally going to kind of skip over 11. I got a small copy made, but I'm looking forward to 12. I think that's going to be a major update, and I hope that helps. Thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, and Doug, in a new computer, to follow up on this particular text, putting this stuff in a second user ID, what would the value of that be?
Not much. I think that you would just let that drive. I think what's happened here is perhaps this particular tech had the experience of having leave the drive and use the same profile name, and then when he had the hard drive in, it wanted to boot to the old hard drive. Just disconnect the old hard drive before you boot. Windows is going to be much more favorable taking from one profile that's got the same name, the same ID, and the same email address. It's just going to allow it much, it's going to be much quicker. You don't have to index everything. It's just, there's really no right and wrong here, except I think my way is going to be quicker and much more efficient and safer. But yeah, that's what I would do. I would, they're going to have to put that old hard drive in, and they're going to have to right click on the folder and slide down and tell it to take ownership. Once it takes, and that's going to take a while. You may start that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and if you got a lot of data, it may be running at midnight. It's and depending on your speed of your system, of course, too. But that's going to take a little time, for sure, for sure. And good luck. Like I say, if you need help, I'll give you a call. Give me a call. I'll do it quick for you. And we'll get you taken care of. And thank you so much.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program if you want to reach out to him. Later in the week, Doug will be available for you. Let's go to the phones again. By the way, if you want to be a part of the program, our talk and text line, same number is 651-461-9226. We have Dan in Golden Valley. Dan, you're on the air with Doug.
Great show as always. You're the best entertainment on a Saturday afternoon.
Oh, thank you so much.
So there's like different categories for different abilities as a computer user. Now, is power user the high end of that? What is like the stages of competency as you know it? And would you consider having your own website where you log in and you have monthly memberships where you can do some training on the computer? So it's a two-part question.
Well, you know, really, I don't think there's anything really set in stone. I know a lot of people talk about game level. A lot of people talk about power users, and it really depends on the individual's confidence level. And the thing is about training sessions, I've tried to do classes, and it's much more effective to do one-on-one. In addition to that, most of my clients in the past, I've actually spent a little time showing them how I use Google and how Google will become trained to them. And pretty soon you'll go to Google and you'll get answers just lickety-split. There's not a support person on the planet that I know of that when they get a call or they get a question, even if they know the answer, they'll jump on Google to verify it before they open their mouth, just to make sure. The thing about this business is things change so rapidly. I can tell you something today that's right on the money. Tomorrow, I'm a liar. So you got to really be cautious with what you say and make sure people understand how fast this thing evolves. And you just move forward. Google is your best friend for asking questions like this, no doubt in my mind. But I still help people somewhat. Big thing is that you get your confidence level up. You get the basics. Copy and paste. Understand file format. Understand naming conventions. Just a few little items. Usually takes about an hour, hour and a half, and you're off and flying. Hey, give me a call next week. We'll get something set up after the first.
All right. There he is, Doug Swinehart. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about AI, and we'll also get into that older computer running Windows 7 with a failing drive. We'll get Doug's thoughts on all of that, and there's still time if you want to be a part of the show on our talk and text line, 651-461-9226, here on News Talk, E3O-WCCO. It is the final show of 2023 Tech Talk. Steve Thompson here. Doug Swinehart, of course, will have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. And we look to be back in 2024. Doug, let's go to the phones right now. And let's bring in Ray. Ray, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I don't know if you're familiar with them. I've got a Raspberry Pi single board computer, and they push Linux, and I know that you're the promoter of Linux. So I'm wondering if there is a particular distro that you thought would be good for that.
Oh, cool.
Oh, they all are. Well, you want to stick with something a little smaller. And there are distributions that are exclusively made for Raspberry Pi. And I can't think of it. I'm having a senior moment here. But they actually have a new version that's just made strictly for the Raspberry Pi. And I'm sure you can download it for free. And Send me an email, and I'll see if I can find that the name of that OS, and I'll send it to you. I'll send you the link. And thank you for the call. What are you going to plan on doing with these Raspberry Pi that you got? You going to be doing a security system, or what are you planning on building?
No, I'm experimenting with programming.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. And, you know, a lot of people are taking these, and they're building their own routers, and they're building their own firewall devices and their own VPN machines. And, you know, if you got $20-$30 invested, if you got the time and you whatever your time is worth, what you end up making this product, and they're really doing well as VPN routers. They're because it's a separate device. When somebody connects to your home network, they don't even have to connect to your VPN. It's automatic. It's in the background. I love that whole home or whole location VPN idea. I just love it. Works great in my house. And thank you for the call. It's a great call.
Yeah, very good, and good luck with all of that. Doug, let's get to that one we promised before the break about an older computer. I have a 32-bit Windows 7 computer, and the drive is failing. I have an app on it that requires a 32-bit computer that is Windows 7 or earlier. Is it repairable? Or on the other hand, is it still possible to purchase a 32-bit computer? And is there a way to transfer that operating system and that software from my failing computer to a new machine?
Your 32-bit software does not require a 32-bit operating system. Now, it's possible that this old computer is not capable of running a 64-bit. And if that's the case, you can still install. There's 16 distributions. I was reading about this the other day, and I can't remember the names of them all. There are 16 Linux distributions that will still run on 32-bit. Now, once you got that done, you could actually put, by a company called Oracle, a VirtualBox, put that on inside of Linux, and then install Windows inside of VirtualBox. So you're kind of layering your systems. It's going to slow it down a little bit. So if you got a slow computer, you can be assured that it's going to be even slower getting into that program. Now, another way to go would be to take that program and do some testing in Linux. See if you can actually put an emulator, if it'll run under Wine. And that's W-I-N-E, just like a glass of wine, but it's Wine HQ. And that's an emulator. That will actually set up a similar files to Windows, and it should run in Linux natively. When it works, it's beautiful. But you're not going to know until you test it out. I've run into this a lot where older software was absolutely required. Maybe they had a special sewing machine or a special security device of some kind. There's been all kinds of times where they're not ready to give it up. It's too costly to give it up. Plus, you can have a 32-bit machine, Windows 7, but you'd want that airlock. You don't want that thing on the Internet at all. And I hope that helps. Thank you so much for the text.
Another follow-up to Prevazor. Quick run through, Doug. Prevazor, literally, you can do a Google search, find Prevazor, download it, and run it, right? I mean, this pretty straightforward.
Oh, absolutely. You know, unless you take the donor's version, which then they are going to want you to give them some money. They're going to suggest $45, I think, now. But if you just take the other one, they're almost identical. And I say take the other one at first. It's the voluntary one. But you hit the file, it comes down, and you just install like a normal program. It's a executable file or an MSI file, Windows, Microsoft install, and one or the other, and just run it. And take your time and learn about it and get to know it. And if you like it, then contribute. It doesn't get much easier than that one. That one's a piece of cake.
Yeah, and very secure, very good. Program, important stuff. Here's a good one. It is hard to find a new computer with a CD drive or DVD drive. I mean, those are rare. But I do know this from our text line. You can buy those with a USB connection, so you can plug them in. So if you have CDs or DVDs, you can still buy these things with a USB cord and plug them right into your new machine.
Externals. Yep, and that is the way to go. As rare as you're going to be using a CD or a DVD drive, that really is the way to go. They're going by the way of the dodo real soon, and I think that's going to happen with USB as well, or at least the bigger USB. The smaller ones, 3.0, they carry more data, they run cooler, just better drives. So, yeah, remember, this industry, it evolves in dog years. Some people say dog years 7 to 1. I think it's closer to 15 years to 1. So just remember, it's evolving. But, yeah, they will not get rid of DVDs or CDs anytime soon. Get an external. And then when you're done with it, put it in the drawer, put it over the side of your desk, and just, there's no reason to have it in your machine sucking up power as rare as they're used these days. Yeah, that's kind of a shock when people go out to buy a new computer today. They're looking, well, what kind of DVD has got? So I got a writable CD or what kind? Well, it doesn't even have one. Yeah, it's a cost of manufacturing, and if you're not going to use it, why spend the money to have it?
But if you have something on a DVD or a CD, they are still very readable. Super stable. And I can't imagine that it'll get to the point where you won't be able to access that with some external hardware. They're still readily available, and they're cheap. They work great. Yeah.
Even today, if I look back through history now, I can go out to the garage. I don't have it in my office, but I got a little device that I can read 3.5-inch floppies. Plug it into a USB port and away I go. When I'm done with it, I wrap it up, put it back in the box, take it out to my toolbox on the bench in the garage. It's once that technology is live, it's probably not going to go away for a long, long, long time.
Well, Doug, the hour has gone all too quickly. We have a lot of great calls, a lot of great texts on the program. Thanks so much. It was a great year here on Indeed. Tech Talk. We're going to take next Saturday off. We'll be back in 2024. But before we say goodbye, until early January, what is your phone number and email, Doug? How do people reach you?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin@wccotech.com. admin@wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much for a great year, Steve, and I'll see you next year.
All right, very good, Doug. Take care. Once again, we are off next Saturday. Doug and I are taking a Saturday off, but we will be back. Keep our fingers crossed on that in 2024. We have all the news, all the weather coming up here at 4 o'clock. We'll start with CBS, local and regional news to follow. We'll check that weather. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. We'll talk a little hockey with Jez Myers from The Rink Live here on the CCO.